What we have then is an EPA registration process that is functionally a bait and switch process. You register one thing, you sell something else. Now, once you get inside the body, how do you kill? Firstly, it's important to realize that the structure of pesticide molecules typically is a ring-shaped structure. It may have nitrogen, carbon, nitrogen, carbon, nitrogen, carbon, like this one does. And this is sort of the heart of atrazine, the herbicide used on corn, for example. And then the reason they do this ring-shaped structure is because that tends to be have no electrostatic charge, which makes it lipid-soluble, which is makes it a master key for entry into the cell. We'll talk about why in just a second. And then you typically hang off of this ring-shaped structure, which is fat-soluble, groups that are water-soluble, that have an electrostatic charge. In this case, we have a nitrogen and two hydrogens, which gives us a positive electrostatic charge. So we basically have a chimera, a molecule, part that's water-soluble, part that's fat-soluble. Why do we want that? We want that because, firstly, fats dissolve in fats. And so you can get through the cell membrane, which is a phospholipid, by dissolving in this or being transported by various means into the cell. Now, once you get inside the cell, there's something else that goes on, namely the principle that opposite charges attract. So these are two fundamental principles to remember, and it allows, firstly, the molecule to get inside, and once it gets inside, the electrostatic charges can take over because, for example, if you happen to be targeting mitochondria, which are the powerhouse of the cell, with all these high-energy electrons, negative, positive attraction, you get in here, you block the flow of electrons, you shut off the power to the cell, and the cell dies. Or you create free radicals in abundance. The only trouble is you see that this molecule can't distinguish an electrostatic charge from a mitochondria versus an electrostatic charge from a DNA, and it might be attracted over this way in another, if it comes in slightly differently. And what if that should happen, that flat dinner plate-shaped molecule here slides right in between the rungs of the DNA ladder. It lodges there, and then when the DNA tries to unwind and unzip to copy itself, it comes to this molecule that's lodged there, and it breaks. And we call that a mutation. And so there are all kinds of possibilities, too. These charges can interact with negative chloride ions that are communication ions within and between cells. These are very important. All three of these ions are important in neurological transmissions. And so what you really basically have here is a molecular bull in a china shop. It can interact with all kinds of different molecules in the cell. And this is why there's such a broad spectrum of effects. There's not a single target effect. It's multiple effects, and I want you to understand that why they can be happening that way. And the timing and the place of entry also impact on just what the effect will be when you have this happen.